Preston and Steve Fun Size.
Our next guest is going to be appearing live in gallery appearances at Wentworth Gallery at the Hard Rock Hotel today from 5 to 8 p.m. and then Sunday in King of Prussia from 1 to 4. And he will be displaying his art, and we're excited to have him here because very, very soon he will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've waited a long time to meet this gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, from Def Leppard, Mr. Rick Allen.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Was here this morning.
Very nice introduction.
Thank you, sir. I have been waiting to meet you for a long time, a couple of reasons, and I'll stop fanboying all over you. But number one, I'm a drummer. Have been since I was a kid.
I knew that.
And number two, you knew that?
Yeah.
You could tell you got the vibe.
Yeah.
Number two, I believe the Pyromania tour was the second rock concert I ever saw. So you go way back to my very beginning days of experiencing live rock music, and I vividly recall that show.
Now you're scarred for life.
I'll forever remember it. It was in St. Louis. It was the Pyromania tour, and man, I was just blown away by the performance. It was excellent, and it just ushered me into wanting to go to more concerts and experience that whole live thing.
I play better now.
You do play better now?
I think so.
And I've seen you in the years since. I'd seen you know, Def Leppard after your accident and losing a limb, which for a drummer, that's a little bit of an issue. But
it
also
at least ruins your day, right?
It was a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
But I remember being intrigued, hearing that you were coming back, and I understood using trigger pedals how that could be done. Essentially, your left foot becomes your snare drum, and I was, you know why I was bummed out, other than the significant pain and issues you went through of losing your left arm, was that you were one of the few rock guys that used a traditional grip.
That's true. Not anymore.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. But I mean, it was like you and Stuart Copeland and Carl Palmer, and that was pretty much it, you know?
No, it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you started, I mean, you started young playing the drums, and then was it your mother who helped you place an ad or respond to an ad from Def Leppard at that time? You were 14? 15?
No, I was playing with the local bands from about the age of 10.
10?
And then at the ripe old age of 14, I was going to quit the business. And
you'd had enough.
I'd had enough. I remember coming home one day and saying, "Mom, you know, I don't want to do this anymore." And she found this article in the newspaper, in the local newspaper, and it said, "Leopard loses skins." And we called. And a couple of days later, I met with Joe and Steve at a local club. And I went for an audition and got the gig. It was really
14.
Funny. Yeah, at 14. And then I joined Def Leppard around about my 15th birthday.
Oh, my God.
What was that like? And I'm sure you guys were playing bars, clubs, and things like that at that time. Now in the UK, is that much of an issue, having a 15-year-old in a bar and a band? Because here they'd have a problem with it.
It wasn't so much of a problem.
Okay.
But I had to sort of stay out of the way, you know.
Yeah.
Get other people to buy beer for me.
There you go. I was 18.
Yes.
I was playing clubs when I was 18, and it was awesome.
Oh, it was great. It was really funny when we had to share a dressing room with the stripper on a Sunday.
Oh, my God.
How old
were the other guys when you were 15? What were they?
They're probably 8 to 10 years older than me.
Okay. Yeah.
So you were really good. I mean, the fact that you could, you know, hold your own with, you know, there's a growth spurt that's taking place, and you're still at the beginning of that, and you're competent enough to land this gig, and then you're off and running. But, you know, Preston's always talked about your technique, and yeah, obviously you've talked about the accident and everything, but one of the best Behind the Musics, which used to be a great series on VH1, you know, I was a Def Leppard fan before, but it appeared to me that the band's commitment to you and vice versa was, that to me is such, that's the story to tell, is that you don't leave your friends, you know, you stick with it. And the fact that they did, and you've produced, you know, 10 times what anyone could hope, is the story. It still has to amaze you now as you look back at how it could have gone.
That's really nice of you to say. It was really family support, support from the guys in the band, and just people reaching out from all over the world.
Yeah,
like I got letters from so many places, like encouragement, and really, I discovered the power of the human spirit. And once you know, I got that, there was no stopping me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know? Yeah,
I just wanted to succeed.
I want to ask about your art. from time to time, you'll see musicians who later on in life start to embrace that part of their creative side that maybe has always been there, but then they finally find themselves with either more time or more resources or more of an audience to share that with. How long has your artistic side outside of music been in your life?
Really from when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Really, I discovered music and didn't really... I was into photography, but didn't do much painting until I started painting with my youngest daughter and just saw where she went when she painted. And it was sort of without rules.
The sort of zen that you get when you're...
Yes.
Painting, exactly. Yeah.
That sort of open-eyed meditation where you just disappear into a zone. And
it appeals to a lot of people. And you know, I like to sketch. You know, you're right. It's just you kind of channeling stuff out. But your art has some unique aspects to it that involves some technology as well, correct?
It depends what kind of technology. I try everything. I learn new techniques. The ones that I'm really proud of are the Legends series.
Right.
I started out with Steve Clark. I figure that was a great subject because he really inspired me and he was my best friend. And and then I moved on to doing John Lennon. And then Hendrix.
Right.
And my latest one, the David Bowie, is really cool. So,
do you have anybody teaching you along the way? I mean, do you have like a mentor?
I have mentors, people that help me discover new ways to paint.
But also to understand things like shadows and how they work. And
that's exactly That's exactly what I do. Normally, I'll dumb down a photograph that I really like, and then I'll sketch the geometric shapes to create the highlights.
Because I'm looking at your work and it's really good.
Yeah,
I'm looking at this painting of John Lennon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is really good. And this one that we have in the studio here, up in the main thing, the American flag with the heart in the middle, with the handprint, is just beautiful.
Whose handprint is that?
It's mine, actually.
Oh. Is it?
Yeah. It is. It is.
But like, I couldn't help but think, like, there's no way anybody could do this without having a teacher along the way, a mentor along the way. Like, nobody has that that perfect understanding of especially when it comes to paint. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. I love using acrylics.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I use acrylics is because if I get it wrong, I can paint over it.
It's very forgiving. It's very forgiving.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Are you? So for me, sketching is easy. I can just erase or it's a pencil, so on and so forth. When you're committing, you know, to me, it seems like you're doing something, a large piece of work, and you're what gives you zen can also be ultimately frustrating, I assume, at the same point where it's not coming out the way you want it.
No, that's true. What I tend to do is take a lot of photographs of, you know, especially if it's a big piece.
Yeah.
So I can change the perspective and then kind of see what I'm missing. What is it I'm missing?
Right.
And then living with it for a few days before I go back to it.
My girlfriend's an artist, and I am not, and so I appreciate her ability to do what she does. What she often struggles with, and I'm curious as to what you may or may not struggle with, but knowing when her piece is finished, because you can look at it, and you're in it, and you're so, it's become such a part of your life for a stretch, to know when to walk away. I think that analogy also applies to music. When you look at a song that's being produced, and you don't want to overproduce it, do you feel that that's the same with one of your pieces of art?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that way. You know, in music, you say, well, it's overcooked. You know, you
overproduced.
You
yeah,
overdid
yeah.
it. You know,
yeah.
It sounds too slick or mm-hmm. whatever. The good thing about the technique, especially doing faces, is it's not realism. So all you have to do is just follow the geometric shapes. And as long as I get that right, then there is an end point, you know.
Do you know when you've reached that end point?
Yeah, I mean, I you could always go on, but then, you know, how much time do I really have? Unfortunately, I have a day job.
Which draws some of your energy.
It does. Yes. It gets in the way of everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I think there's always a kernel. For example, you were born with an ability to see things artistic. Like people say, can you learn to be a stand-up comedian? Or you can, but to be a good one or to be good at anything, there has to be, I think, a little bit of the kernel of it in you.
Yeah,
I think so. And so what would have made you probably, a solid photographer or anything, or a musician? It's that same commitment to that goes through it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
Any plans to visit photography again? Or?
I'm taking photographs all the time.
Okay.
You know, when I'm out on the road with the band, or, you know, if I can't paint when I'm on the road, at least I'm trying to plan out what I'm going to be doing when I get home.
Okay.
You know, so I can get busy, you know, with the artwork. So,
I want to ask about your time with the band, and how funny is it seeing now ripped jeans coming back as a fashion statement when Joe Elliott perfected the art of it back in the days of Def Leppard?
Yeah.
Does that mean officially old when these styles start to come back around that you helped create?
Isn't it great?
Oh, yeah, man.
No, it is cool.
Funny story. I went on stage one night, and the guys, they're always, like, making fun of me, whatever. You know. But I get them back.
Yeah.
So I got off stage, and my jeans are hanging up, and they cut one leg.
Come on.
Jeans.
You must have the largest collection of one arm.
What were you going to say then?
The largest genitals. No, the largest of you've heard every sort of joke you could get, right? I'm sure you know.
There's one or two.
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah, I forgot what. How long after your accident was it okay for the guys to start? Because, listen, part of being in a band, part of being in a group, any small group like ourselves, yeah, like the show, is having fun with each other and being able to joke and give each other a hard time. How soon after that accident were they starting to have fun with
that? Pretty much immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah. Wishful thinking, but, you know, yeah, jokes like one arm and three legs. And
right. That's a brotherhood thing, so, you know.
Well, we have actually, there's a friend of the show who's a model, and she's has done runway work in Manhattan, and she has, I don't know, Nick, is it a full arm or is it a partial arm?
I don't know
who
you're talking about.
Becca? Yeah, I think it's her whole arm.
And so she does have an apparatus that is now with a phone app and stuff.
It's like a robotic arm.
Has any of that been brought to you? Does any of that interest you?
I tried a prosthetic arm, but I lost so much of my
shoulder,
of my arm.
Yeah.
And when it got infected, they had to make sure that all the infection was gone.
Okay.
So, you know, there's not that much there anymore.
All right.
But I'm really streamlined.
Yeah, you're streamlined.
You are streamlined.
Yeah, there you go.
I do remember shortly after, and you made your return to the stage, that I remember seeing pictures, because I used to get the rock magazines and all that stuff. And there would be people, there were amputees that would just line up, just could not wait to meet you. And you kind of became, I mean, hero might be too strong of a word, or a spokesperson for people who have had that, the similar situations like that. Were you a little overwhelmed by that at first, or
no? I could identify with people, and I think it was really cool because people felt like they knew me and they could trust me.
You had a commonality.
Yeah, and I took that a stage further. I do a lot of work with our wounded warriors, and actually a portion of the proceeds from the artwork always goes to our warriors.
The Raven Foundation?
Yeah, Raven Drum Foundation.
Right, right. And then you also have the One Hand Drum Company. What is that, unless I'm misreading?
One Hand Drum Company?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was listed in your credits. I'm like, there's no explanation. I'm like, what is that?
No, it's actually the Raven Drum Foundation.
And so then, it's part of the same thing.
And then under the umbrella is sort of Project Resiliency.
Okay.
And that was my way of really focusing on what I thought was a huge problem,
yeah.
you know, our warriors coming back with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, you name it. So that was a way for me to really focus on them.
That's excellent. And so portions of the sales, these sales will go to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Let's talk a little bit about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You guys won the popular vote. You won the people's vote, which I think is very apropos. People of your bands, of your genre, on the kind of, you know, rock, metal, whatever you want to place it in, I think have a significant place in the world of rock music. And it seemed like Rolling Stone and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame kind of glances over that type of music. They put it out to the people who listen, who buy, who you know, go to concerts, so forth. And they said, no, these guys deserve to be in. What do you think about all of that?
I agree with you. I think we may have been left out a little bit. I think the thing that made all of us really happy, the whole of Def Leppard, was the fact that they introduced the fan vote. And we got so many votes.
Yeah.
And that to us was the most important thing. It wasn't necessarily, you know, a bunch of guys sitting around at a boardroom table deciding
yes.
who's in, who's out. It was really about the fan vote. We thought that was really important.
I mean, it sort of parallels your career in general, in the fact that like you're appealing to a certain people, and those are your fans. And then on the other side, you have these critics who. You're not doing it for them, you know. If you like it, you like it, and if you don't, you don't. And if you don't like it, I'm not making this for you. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. I mean, define critic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if there are fans out there of any music, it doesn't matter, you know, what anybody's perception of that music is. If there are fans out there, then there are people that like the music.
Yeah,
you know.
How important? So, yeah, as the legend goes, the producer Mutt Lange was. You know, key and critical to you. Is that been overblown or was?
No, not overblown at all.
Yeah.
He really inspired me. Just an amazing musician, incredible, you know, songwriter, arranger.
How much does a producer like that, I mean that can be the flashpoint, correct, of everything?
Yeah, I think he was really pivotal. I think he really developed our sound. To the point where, you know, I think it's why we're here today.
Yeah, yeah, it's very cool. The movie Hysteria, which is a docudrama, I guess. What did you think of that? Did you like it?
The script, we actually went over the script before it actually got filmed, and we all approved it. I think the only thing that may have been a little different were some of the characters.
Okay.
Like, Mutt wasn't that, you know, sort of... kind of character that was
depicted in the movie. It was for people who don't know, it was actually they enacted basically the Def Leppard story and focused a bit on the accident and everything. And but I was just wondering. So you say a lot of times they have to condense and take character traits of multiple people to make the story. But you're overall
and they dramatized it a little bit, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I thought the most important thing was the actual script was pretty true to form.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to ask about the new guy in the band, Vivian Campbell. He's been in the band since 92. But I remember a few years ago, there was a report that he had cancer. I haven't heard much about that.
He's doing great.
Is he doing great?
He ended up going for immunotherapy.
Okay.
And he's doing really well.
What a guitar player.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Just amazing. You guys have the ceremonies for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I assume, and I haven't read the latest on who's going to be there, accepting, performing, all this stuff, plans to be there and to perform and do the whole thing?
Yeah, I hope everybody shows
up. Okay. Thank you. Right, I can't stand when the artists blow that. I mean, I'm a big Dire Straits fan, and they blew it off. I'm like, no!
Yeah. No, you can't. You
can't do that. What?
It's just getting a nod from your peers and everybody, you know. I mean, we've been working really hard at this, and it's let's have a party. You know?
I like that attitude.
I want to ask a question. What is your favorite song that you guys have created?
I think the one song that just puts me in the right frame of mind and gives me just a feeling of well-being is the song Hysteria.
Oh, okay. No kidding. Yeah. Love that song.
Yeah. Okay. So off of that album, I just want to tell you, is the summer of 1987. I'm at my pool. I belong to a swim club. Guy lives across the
street. He's not boasting, by the way.
No, I'm listening.
Guy lives across the street from the swim club, and he had been doing off the high dive at 2.5 for weeks. He pumps himself up, and I kid you not, he comes into the swim club with a boombox on his shoulder, pours some sugar on me, right? And this is just a vivid memory that I have in my mind, right? And so it's the summer of 87, boom, you know, and he's pumping himself up, walks in through the entrance down, puts the boombox down on the bench, takes his shirt off, gets up onto the high dive, and doesn't even wait 1 second, goes off the high dive. One flip, two flips, 2.5 flips, flat on his back. Ouch. It was so loud, and it hurt so bad. And then he laid there in the diving well like, oh. And then he got out of the pool, dried himself off, grabbed his boombox, and left.
Ouch. Hey, he tried.
Yes, he did.
And he's listening to music. You know? Right.
Want to hear my Def Leppard memory? Yeah. Probably in, it was probably in eighth grade. I know we got to wrap up, but... The most bold fashion statement I've ever made in my life.
Oh.
I walked into school that morning wearing my sleeveless Union Jack t-shirt that I got before anybody had their hands on. I'd taken a family trip to San Francisco, and there it was in a shop. And I'm like, oh, my God. And, you know, Photograph had just come out, and Joe wore that shirt, and it was so iconic, and I wore... People, heads were just snapping around and looking fantastic.
Where did you get that?
It was amazing, Rick.
You had your own theme song at that point.
I did. Listen, we know you guys have to go. I'm going to remind people of the details of Rick Allen, Legends and Dreams, and his gallery appearances.
The stuff is amazing, by the way.
Cool. It's thank you, wonderful guys. Artwork, and it's multimedia. You do some stuff on drums as well, and there's all kinds of great stuff. But in at the Hard Rock Hotel from 5 to 8 p.m. tonight. And then Sunday in King of Prussia from 1 to 4. These are the Wentworth Galleries. So
yes, Wentworth Galleries.
Make sure that you stop by and see him. Rick, a pleasure to meet you. Congratulations on all the success, and thank you for being here this morning.
Fantastic. What does it mean at the beginning? Gunter Gleben Glauben.
Gunter Gleben Glauben Globen?
We don't know.
Even he doesn't know.
We don't know.
Let's hear it for Rick Allen, everybody. Hey! Thank you, sir.
Want more Preston and Steve? Get the whole show podcast or bizarre files at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.